Sorry. Watching the game against Southend, and then where am I? What's going on? Oh, it must be Turbines for Goalpost. Episode 8. Oh, they just about scraped through. Wasn't pretty. And it wasn't exciting, but I guess it doesn't really matter. We'll look back on that. Look forward to the next game against the league leaders. And then, yay! Football's back. We can go and watch a game. Should have mentioned in the intro there as well, we've actually got a new feature. I was hoping to be a new regular feature, but we'll see. Friends of the pod, Dave and Hugo, after getting their name check last week, apparently that wasn't enough for them. They're now pitching ideas to take part in the podcast, and you know what? We've got some stuff. The South Stand Sing-Along, I believe Dave is calling it. New feature. Listen out for that. That's going to come up a bit later on. But first up, let's talk about Tuesday night away at Southend. This really was a must-win game, and Forest Green did win it. So that's, you know, that's good news. Ultimately, maybe the manner in which the victory came about was a little bit unsatisfying. Southend, you know, they're not doing well at all this year. So I suppose we probably all thought, you know, this is the chance for them to, you know, score some goals. You know, plural goals. Maybe win by more than the odd goal. But it didn't pan out like that. But as I say, a win is a win at this point, isn't it? So here we go. The lineup for Forest Green: McGee, Godwin, Malief, Stokes, Moore, Taylor, Wilson, Winchester, Sweeney, Cadden, Bailey, Adams, and Matt. Jake Young there dropped to the bench, I guess to give him a rest, I suppose. And this wasn't a good game. It's the first ever meeting between these two teams, and you might be forgiven for thinking, well, can we make it the first and last? Obviously, that's not going to be the case, but they probably should have gone ahead, Southend. A guy called Matt Rush dragging a shot wide. I mean, he's absolutely acres of space, about 10 yards out. Didn't even hit the target. Not good. I remember Chelsea when they, the first time around when they had Mourinho, they used to occasionally, their fans used to sing a chant. Even if they weren't playing well, they'd inevitably score and be winning a game, and their fans would sing, "That's why we're champions." Well, that miserable miss of the target by Matt Rush did put me in mind of that, in sort of like the exact inverse of that. It's like, that's why you're at the bottom with only 5 points. Yeah, it wasn't great. They didn't have a single shot on target actually all day, Southend. That's bad, isn't it? So then what else happened? Jamil Matt missed the target himself with a near post header. I mean, sort of what he's in the team for is winning these headers. It was a good cross from Nicky Cadden. He'd got across his man, couldn't find the target. Towards the end of the first half, a foul. Well, basically, more or less the exact same thing as what happened right at the end of the Barrow game. Ibu Adams fouled in basically the same spot, just outside the area, and Nicky Cadden with the free kick. And again, we go back to him saying that he practices free kicks here and there. You practice them more than here and there, because this one was okay, but the keeper didn't really have to move. I will say that the guy in the south end wall jumped, which is brave, but then when he saw that the ball was going to hit him in the face, ducked, completely out of the way. Now, I'm not going to slag him off, because I'll be honest, that's probably the sort of thing that I would have done in my playing career. I don't really remember being in a wall very often, for whatever reason, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he jumped and then ducked out of the way. Again, that's why you're down the bottom. But the keeper saved it. I will say, you know, again, as with the foul by the guy from Barrow, the South End defender, and it was a clear foul. I mean, as soon as the referee blows for the free kick, he screams, "Fuck off!" at the ref. I don't know what you got to do to get booked. He didn't get booked. I mean, he screamed it at him. Anyway, didn't get booked. Fine. Let's go to the second half. Nothing much is happening. Odin Bailey, a little step over, right foot deflected over. That was pretty unlucky because it looked like it may well be going in that one. Winchester mishits a volley into the ground from a sort of a poor-headed clearance from a corner. Finally, well, so double substitution, Aaron Collins and
Jay Young
come on in the 59th minute, and hey presto, 4 minutes later, the two of them have combined. So that's, I suppose that's a cliche alert, a managerial masterstroke, as we call that. I think masterstroke, I only ever hear that word when it follows managerial. I don't think I ever hear that word otherwise. Abu Adams plays it down the right. Aaron Collins sort of dummies the cross. The defender slides in, so he's now helplessly flapping around on the ground like a fish. Aaron Collins cuts inside, keeps his composure, sort of cuts it back just outside the edge of the 6-yard box where Jake Young, right foot into the corner. Hooray! It's a goal. And then not long after, not a bad little bit of play from Kane Wilson. Kind of stands his man up and then swings in a very nice across. Sorry. Jake Young gets up, header against the post, and they just sort of scramble it away. Unlucky for it to not be 2-0. And then aside from a couple of nervy moments, Southend didn't, they didn't put up too much of a fight. As I say, not a single shot on target for them all night. And that was it. I suppose you got to take what you can get sometimes. And a victory and a clean sheet will do. Post-match interview. Mark Cooper said that he felt like the team was nervous because they'd only picked up 1 point from the last two games. I think as well, anytime you're playing a team that is having a terrible season, you don't want to be the team losing to them. I mean, I know they won their last game out, but still, they've only got 5 points all season. So this is, that I think would make you nervous as well. You don't want to be the team losing to Southend this season. So I suppose credit to them, the team, job done for the day, and they will move on to the next one. And the next one is...
Who's that team? Who's that team?
Okay, everyone. Next up, Tuesday night. It's top of the table, Newport County. They were formed in 1912. They went out of business in 1989 and then reformed, that's why their nickname is the Exiles, because I guess once they reformed, they weren't actually able to use their old ground, Somerton Park. So yes, nicknamed the Exiles. Their current ground is Valley Parade. Again, that just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Valley Parade. That sounds great. They wear amber shirts and black shorts when they're at home. They are managed by a chap called Michael Flynn. Now, one thing that I've noticed the last couple of these that I've done, the manager, Michael Flynn, and last week, can't remember his name, they're both younger than me. This has started happening more and more in daily life. I'm noticing people who routinely were always older than me. Football managers, for example, were always older than me. Now, not so much. Had the same thing with dentists not that long ago. Dentists used to always be older than me. Now they're not. Anyway, as I said, they are top. They're 3 points clear with a game in hand on pretty much most of the table. They've won 9. They've drawn 2. They've lost 2. Last time out, they drew with Walsall. Point of note, Forest Green old boy Liam Shepherd signed for them on a 1-year deal in September, so he may well be playing. Favourite name, I'm going to go with Aneurin Livermore. He's from Wales. So, Dad, if I've pronounced that wrong, give me a call, let me know how I'm supposed to pronounce that. A-N-E-U-R-I-N. Aneurin? Never heard that name before. I quite like it. So, yes, this is a proper test. I mean, the season's been up and down, hasn't it? Winning and losing by the odd goal. Against teams that are sort of mid-table and below generally. But now, this is it. This is a big game. We get to find out, are Forest Green actually any good or not, I think. So, yes, fingers crossed. Let's see. Okay, so, as teased earlier, here is some content from a third party. Friend of the pod, Dave, as I said, got in touch and had an idea for a slot which might become a regular slot, it might not. I think he might find, as I did, that keeping a regular commitment to something when you have a young family and a full-time job is quite an ask. You've really got to have the love for it, Dave, so we shall see. But it's a nice idea that he's got. I will say, before I press play, that the views of Dave aren't necessarily the views of Turbines for Goalposts. Thank you.
Just finished episode 7 of Turbines for Goalposts. Many thanks for the name check. A little disappointed it was just a name. I feel Hugo and I deserve a lot more airtime, so I've been having a think, and I've come up with a segment that we could possibly call Dave and possibly Hugo's South Stand Sing-Alongs. We know the singing is poor at the Innocent New Lawn, especially now that Dale Vince is driving out the Forest Green Ultras, as you like to call them. So it's up to us to play our part in bringing the atmosphere back to Nailsworth. Now, South Stand sing-alongs. First song, first player in focus this week is the baller himself, Odin Bailey. Now, I've been trying to think what songs we could sing about our friend Odin. The obvious, Odin Bailey. Seems a bit dated, a bit obvious, so I've had a think, and I've come up with a song to the tune of Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe, and it goes a little something like this. He's a baller, his left foot's deadly, he'll skip right past you, Odin Bailey. I know you enjoyed that. I know you can see it taking off, and I know you think that's a welcome addition to the podcast. Next week, Hugo will come up with a song about one of the starting 11. And yeah, I think this could be a big feature, a big addition, and get some of those listeners coming back each and every week. Happy to discuss. Enjoy.
Listening back to that, a few thoughts that I didn't really take in the first time I listened to it, just off my phone. His voice is dripping with contempt for me, it feels like. A mixture of contempt and entitlement that he'll just waltz in, yeah, onto Turbines for Goalposts and get on here. I do like the chant, though. I'm not going to lie. Slightly esoteric choice of source material. Like, I mean, Carly Rae Jepsen, it's not sort of classic Terrace's material. But if it works, it works. He sent me a subsequent message asking me to fact check the is left foot's deadly line to check whether or not he's left or right footed. You know, I don't think we need to split hairs too much here. I will say also, Dave, you're not privy to the listening figures here, obviously. I do think you might be overestimating the reach that Turbines for Goalposts has at present. If you're feeling like, you know, we'll bash out some chants on here, which isn't to say I don't think we should do it. Let's do it. But if you're thinking that, you know, we'll do them on here, and then next thing you know, the next home game, the whole South Stand is going to be bouncing and they're going to be singing that, and everyone will know the words because they listen to the podcast. That isn't going to happen. So you're going to need to just rein the expectations in just for a little bit, okay? You open your eyes. You're on the edge of the 6-yard box at the New Lawn. Nicky Cadden's left foot swishes silently. And you watch the ball curve through the air. High above you, Jamil Matt rises. A beautiful salmon. Leaping clear of the froth as he heads upriver. He heads the ball down. Jake Young catches it on the volley, and you watch the ball get larger and larger and larger until you feel its sweet kiss. You no longer know fear or pain. Everything will be okay forever. You wake up. Of all the weird things I've put on this podcast, that's probably a challenger for the weirdest. I like it, though. Everyone's got to have an outlet, I think, don't they, in life? And this is mine, I suppose. News, then. Moving on to news. Well, the big news, of course, is that as things stand, around here, we're under Tier 2 restrictions as of the 2nd of December. What's that? Wednesday. So, unless things change, fans will be allowed to attend the game against Cambridge on the 22nd. I meant the 12th. As I mentioned in episode 7, that's going to be a big game. I shall certainly try my best to be in attendance for that. The club announced, obviously, season ticket holders, no questions asked, they can go to all the games that people can go to. They are offering a 4-match bundle of tickets in the South and North stands for this game, the Cambridge game, and then also Carlisle, Crawley Town and Oldham Athletic. And they say this is the only way to guarantee your attendance if you're not currently a season ticket holder. Not quite, they haven't announced the prices for that as well. But I'd have thought it's going to be, what, like 75 quid, 80 quid-ish for those four. I'm not quite sure why they've done it like that. I assume it's to allow them to get a better idea of how many people are going to be attending, because I suppose the stewarding of these games is going to be, you know, more tricky than it otherwise would be. I think it's a bit unfortunate to do it like this. I mean, I hope that they'll make it possible for people to buy tickets on the day as well. Because much as I'd like to attend all four of those games, it's hard, you know, life being what it is, when you're busy, you can't get to every single game. And I don't really want to pay for four games if I'm not going to attend four games. So we'll see. Prices are going to be announced when? When are they announcing prices for that? Oh, in due course. Okay, that's helpful. Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, it's going to be nice, isn't it, to be back watching football. We'll see. I'll try and persuade Dave to start up his Odin Bailey chant at the top of his voice and see how many people join in. Other news? Well, there isn't really any other news. I don't think for this week. Taylor Allen. Do you remember him? I only remember him. I've only seen him play in one game. He came on as a sub. I can't remember who it was against, but the game was 0-0 and Rovers were looking pretty toothless. And then he came on and scored, I think, with about 10 minutes to go. And he looked quite good that day. So, I mean, not really seen hide nor hair of him since then. But he is off on a one-month loan to Leamington. Well, good luck, Taylor. Have fun. And I suppose, other than that, that's probably about it for this week. So, fingers crossed for a good result tomorrow night. Wait, tomorrow night? What day is it today? Sunday. I'm a day early. Okay, yeah, Tuesday night. Brilliant. And I will speak to you all next time. Come on, the Rovers. Ooh, woo, woo. Yeah. Forest Green. Forest Green. Forest Green.
Rovers.
Forest Green.
It's the Rovers.
Forest Green.
Rovers.
Forest Green. Forest Green. Forest Green.